gonna edit it back in.
How about next week on the show? We smoke marijuana.
No.
No, you don't. Do you take a marijuana cigarette once in a while?
Nope, because I work.
I know Christian does. He'll fucking burn one down any minute.
I work
any minute.
Any minute.
No,
Seth Rogen.
I work very hard to keep my brain on a mental even keel, and drug intake would just whoosh, yeah. Just too much.
But you like a Miller Genuine Draft, though, nice, right? You still like the MGD?
I can have one, but I have two, and I'm depressed the next day. And it's just not worth the aggro.
Yeah. No, I've given up the booze.
I haven't had a full-on minging hangover till I went to your shitty party that you organized for Mike Olson with this keg that was about this big of the worst horse piss I've ever tasted.
What are you talking about? When was that? I had a party for Mike Olson.
You chucked a birthday party for Mike Olson, and you bought this keg that was. It was like it was ridiculous. It wasn't.
It was a pony keg, maybe.
I don't know what it was, but it looked ridiculous. Keg. And holy shit, was it bad stuff? And I did get tanked, and I rode down Ashland Avenue about 6 miles from wherever it was, just drunk off my ass at like 2 a.m. And God, did I have a minging hangover after that.
From that rot gut booze?
Yeah.
You know, a couple weeks ago, we talked about my first wedding, my first marriage anyway, and which was at the Red Lion.
Oh, that was verboten now.
No, we can talk about it now. Nobody.
Cat's out of the bag.
Cat's out of that bag. My kids still don't know. They've not listened to
that episode. No one has. So.
And my mother, God rest her soul, she attended the wedding reception at the Red Lion and claimed it was the worst booze she ever had in her life. She called it rot gut booze. Like the most bottom shelf.
What did you do?
Bottom shelf booze.
Did you buy a package? I can't remember.
Shit, I don't remember. It was open bar, I'll tell you that. Danny, I think, was bartending. Danny hated me with a passion.
Hang on. There was the good guy, was that Mark, and then Danny was the Willie Ames. Was.
Yeah, he wasn't the good guy. He was the Willie Ames.
He was the steroids.
Yeah, he was
Bonnie,
juiced
right?
Up. He was
yeah.
all juiced up. Yeah.
Oh, my God. I had a few run-ins in with Willie.
You did?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He didn't like you either?
He didn't like anyone because he was roided off his tits,
yeah,
wasn't he?
I mean,
just like on a hair trigger with the least little thing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the thing that did me in with him was... I was doing my act in that room, and I think she came in from the patio and crossed the room to go out to the bar to get a drink. And I go, I don't remember what exactly I said, but I disparaged her as she walked by, and it turned out to be his sister.
Oh,
and,
wow.
Yeah. That did it for me.
I'm sure it was some witticism about her sniz.
It was a witticism, I think. I don't want to say, you know, I'm going to bring back my old act. But. Well, should we get into this one?
Yep.
I don't even know where to begin. I do wish I had been invited to come over to the basement and watch it on VHS. Did you watch it on the VHS?
Not in the basement, but I did watch the VHS.
You watched the VHS of this?
Yeah.
Wow. Why did you have... All right, when we say this, of course we're talking about none other than 1984's Gallagher Over the Head. On VHS, you can get it on VHS. Why did you have a copy of this?
I used to be a thrift store junkie, and if I saw comedy stuff that was weird or bizarre, I would just grab it. It's sitting next to a 10-year Catch a Rising Star anniversary cassette.
Ooh,
that, yeah, you're
going to
love.
That might be pretty good, though.
You're going to love that. It's like...
Who's on there?
It's like... Belza is on.
Ooh,
there.
The Bells.
Yeah. I mean, it's just a bunch of dudes in sports jackets. I'll look
with
it up.
Pushed up sleeves.
Yeah, yeah. And just, but I think that one would And then, like, there's
all, review that next.
And it's like there's pictures of him in a star, you know, collaged together. Yeah. And then Pat Benatar's there. And I was like, why is Pat... Like, if Pat Benatar's doing stand-up comedy on this cassette, this is worth something.
Wait, this is an audio cassette or is it a VHS?
That's a VHS, yeah. But it says she's just doing a song, so... anyway, back to disaster in hand.
Christian, why did you choose this one for us?
I can't really answer that. It was just kind of something that flashed through my head. I remember one time I saw a Gallagher skit. It was just like a snippet from one of his specials, and he was sitting at a school desk, and I don't remember what he was talking about, but I remember thinking, wow, that's really smart. Maybe there's more to this guy than I thought. So then when it popped in
my
head...
The snippet was very clever.
It was some sort of wordplay, and he had like a clever play on however people normally speak. And I thought, well, maybe there's more to this than
so
I've realized.
So you knew something of Gallagher. You're a young man. I can't imagine he was ever...
I only knew him as the sledge-o-matic guy, you know, and I thought, oh, that must be his whole shtick or whatever, until I saw the school desk thing, and I thought, well, maybe I was wrong. So I wanted to kind of explore that and find out, and now I know I was right.
You were right.
I was right about the sledge-o-matic sticky, you know, sort of.
Well, I thought that was the whole shtick as well, but it's not. There's much more here than
to unpackage.
There's a lot, lot to unpack here. All right, you came in, Mark, with the what opinions of Gallagher or knowledge of Gallagher, his act, what.
Well, I arrived in the 90s, and he was kind of a byword for, you know, sort of crappy 80s comedy. I didn't really know. Someone had said about, he smashes watermelons up. And I thought, okay, I understand, you know, a big crowd getting into that and whatever. But I didn't know if he actually had any comedy, per se.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I assume a lot of comedy clubs wouldn't touch him because... You can't be smashing watermelon and shit everywhere. You know, it's not going to work in a club setting.
Yeah, I imagine it would be he'd get full coverage in somewhere like Zany's. He'd cover the front side, the back wall, everywhere. Yeah.
So that's all I knew about him.
Well, before we get into the act, where is he today? Is he above ground or below ground?
He's below it.
Yeah.
Oh, he's below ground.
2022.
Yeah. 22.
Multiple organ failure.
Multiple organ failure.
Did you go to his wiki?
My sister did.
And he had that.
She was also watching it this morning while I was
with you. Yeah. Did she enjoy it?
We both felt the same way, I think, about it.
Yeah.
Did you on his wiki? He had a really interesting thing. His brother. He had a brother, and his brother said,
"A twin."
I don't think a twin. He had a brother, and his brother asked him, "Well, can I just tour around and do your act as well?" And Gallagher said...
It must look like him then.
I don't know, but Gallagher said, yeah, fine. The only thing you cannot do is bill yourself as Gallagher, right? You have to bill yourself as whatever, you know, Tommy Gallagher or whatever, right? But you can use all my shit. So for ages, his brother just toured around doing his act.
He really did.
Yeah. And then they had a fallout because he dropped the Tommy... And did some kind of like trying to disguise. Like his brother, Gallagher said, you can do it as long as it's very plainly obvious you are not me, right?
But you can do my act and smash the shit and everything?
Yeah, yeah. And then his brother kind of obviously probably worked out, no, I'll get way more bookings if I just pretend to be him and get bigger crowds. And so they had a fallout when he started doing that. And Gallagher said, no, this wasn't the deal. But that's just... It kind of reminds me of a thing. I come up with a concept and I still want to implement this. What if you got a bunch of comedians together and they all wrote a really good act collaboratively, right? And they said, all right, we all own this and we're going to set up an act.
Like a comedians called, cooperative of something.
Yeah, called, we're going to set up an act called Comedy 2025, right? And any single one of us could go and do this act. So you've got a collaboration, you've got things going, you've got more voices, so, you know, better thing. And then basically you're all just a franchise and you just go around.
Telling the same joke.
Telling the same jokes in an agreed formula way. And you could just, you could cover the country, you could just go anywhere, and it would be a collaboration. I think there's some legs in that.
You're not serious.
I'm deadly. Comedians used to just be voice pieces of a writing room. Bob Hope, you know, I'm sure there's others.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds awful. Doesn't it sound awful?
I thought you were going to go with, like, how musicals kind of run. You know, like, somebody writes a musical, and then...
Yeah, exactly.
They sell
same
the rights
shit.
To somebody. Yeah, and then and like just different people go off and do the same musical.
You touring know, companies,
you can see Rent here by these people or Rent over there by these people.
Yep.
I can't even get my head around it. You're saying that people go out and do a generic act? And, like, how would you... Why would you care about the person if it was a fucking generic act? Right?
Well, I don't get what you mean.
Meaning, like comedy's about the individual, right? Stand-up comedy. It's about the individual and their perspective and whatever it is they're trying to say or be on stage. But now they're bringing a stock act that other comedians do as well.
Yeah. But you bill it as Comedy 2025.
It sounds like Project 2025 or the Trump thing.
Except it's for comedy.
Yeah. Bad idea.
All right.
Terrible.
We'll see. This time next year, I'll be a millionaire.
Okay. All right.
Anyway,
kind of like the Touring Co. at Second City.
Yeah.
Yeah. Garbage. It's corporate comedy. It's garbage.
All right.
Yeah. Oh, this is like Rogers meeting Hammerstein right
yes,
here.
Yes. All right. Where do you want to begin with this? I mean, I
there is no beginning, is there? It's just what the shit
this
is.
Comes
this?
Out on stage shooting a gun in the air.
What was that? I couldn't, because I watched...
did you watch it on stream?
Yes, I watched it Amazon for free.
Yep.
Amazon Prime for free.
Because I had a VHS cassette, so I had this... I had the whole, like, all rights reserved, and I had this really cheesy-ass... You know how...
The
graphic coming in. Yep. Did you get that as well on the stream? Because that was key for me.
What graphic?
There was a yellow picture of the state of Texas, kind of like came like swooping through the air.
Oh yeah.
I love that throwback.
What?
That was about the. That was the only part of this that I liked was the throwback like 1980s video ident or whatever they call them.
That was the highlight for you. the throwback. So, I didn't laugh once. At times I was, I wanted to reach through the screen and fucking choke this guy. I've never in my life hated a performer more than I hated.
I was telling my sister,
I don't even
want to
say
his
name.
For picking this. I was like, I can't believe I told my sister I felt bad for picking it.
Yeah. You know, like when, and this is a bad analogy, but like when someone does something terrible in society or whatever, like a mass shooter, they say, don't even talk about it. Don't even say the guy's name. I didn't want to say this guy's name because I don't want to dignify it.
Yeah. I mean, it starts off.
I don't get it on any level.
Yeah. No. It almost became what, you know, you watch things and you're like, oh, it's so bad, it's good. But it didn't even get to that stage. It kind of passed the so bad, it's good. And just went straight to so weird, I'm sort of interested.
I was trying to figure it out like a puzzle for a lot of it. For one, I can't understand why this looked like a football stadium filled with people are cheering and going crazy for this guy. What is he doing that's at all entertaining? Or there's nothing funny. There's not a single joke to be had in this whole...
Yeah.
Or maybe there was, but there was none of
those. Well,
there was
the little carrot top bit of like, this is a bug or some butterfly.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
I mean, that was a temp... You know, you could see, okay, I see this is...
And the horns.
Temp.
The horn for people that can't afford an automobile.
Yeah.
You know, he's just carrying around a car battery with a horn on it, you know? And then he had the Texas version of it.
Do you know what he said? The new eyes. And then he puts the thing on and you're like, where the shit
the googly eyes thing?
I want you to see the world. It's kind of weird how he started off. I started to think maybe he like had a mental breakdown and this was shortly after it. You know, like, and like people were like, oh, Gallagher, this will be fun. And then he comes out and starts talking about I'm going to give you a new perspective on life. And they're like, what, by smashing shit up? And you notice they kept the lights on the audience the whole way through.
Yeah, they're all lit up.
House lights are up.
Well, they want you to see them get splattered, right?
Yeah.
With water or whatever.
But I mean, the whole house lights, I don't know, that was weird. And they kept cutting away to people in the audience laughing. Mm-hmm. And some of them looked seriously demented.
Mentally, yeah.
Like, then there was two guys in trucker hats who were just like precious. I mean, I'm like, whoa.
These are good old boys, I'm imagining, right down in Texas. Where in Texas are we
it
here?
It was Beaumont, Texas, Beaumont, which I don't know where that is. That is, yeah.
I imagine theater. Huge. And they're good old boys, and I'm thinking this. First of all, he comes out, and I don't care what his sexuality is, but he's very effeminate to me, right? And I'm thinking
his trousers are so tight.
His trousers, his tight shirt. He's kind of like a composite of like Richard Simmons and Doug Henning together, and maybe a little Carrot Top sprinkled in.
He reminded me of how Billy Crystal used to play a gay man. You know how Billy Crystal would do that kind of overly camp.
Yeah.
Tight-fitting
yeah, like
clothes.
Campy. He's like campy. Yeah. And I'm just thinking, like, of all places for this guy, right? I think maybe San Francisco would be a better venue for him, or where his audience would be, right? Yeah. He's in Texas. I would think they would take him out back and shoot him.
Well, that was the weird thing. So he starts off with sort of, I want to say, vaguely right-wing things. You know, he's shooting a gun and he's saying the odd thing that, like, you know, could be vaguely right-wing. And then all of a sudden he goes, I'm going to do a poem about rivers, and goes all ecological for the last half.
That was bizarre.
That there was a lot of environmental shit in here.
Yeah, which, like I say, maybe he just had a mental breakdown, decided the planet was dying and was going to, I don't know.
Let's do that first joke he comes out with, and I can't even understand what he's trying to, did he say, like, in Texas, he hangs his hat on his lap. Does that mean like his
dick
cock?
Joke, yeah.
He would hang it on his
dick, yeah.
But why would you need to hang it if it's on your lap? You know, it doesn't make sense.
I mean, yeah, so he was in no way blue, but he did use some profanity. What kept popping up, if I would pause the stream on my Amazon, it would say rated 16. Like, you had to be 16 and up to watch this garbage. Right, because of the couple swear words, I guess he had.
Yeah,
that.
He would say shit. That was his okay, shit. That was a swear word.
He would throw a shit in there.
The oil spill on the globe, like, where you even going? Dude?
And then
it
goes
Texas. Into, you're like, oh,
yeah, like
in Texas, you're gonna go after oil,
right?
Jesus.
But then that launches into a whole like ancient history lesson about like the Phoenicians. I don't even know what we're talking about. What had it to do with anything?
At this point, it's just like, it's just veering wildly. And then he brings the tap dancing woman on.
Yeah.
For like, where the hell did this one come from?
And again, what is it? Is that entertaining to see a woman tap dance and they're going crazy because she's tap dancing? But there's nothing funny about it.
No.
Right? And it's nothing special about tap dancing.
Yeah. He says, just for your entertainment only, you know, here's some tap dancing. And then it turns out she was, what, in the Mickey Mouse Club?
Yeah, that's what.
That was the big.
Yeah.
And then he brings out, and he starts with the props, with the
table.
Well, this
tennis.
Is before that. Yeah, the ping pong thing. And
that
then
was
the horn.
That was the most impressive part, is that he was actually able to play the two ping pong paddles against each other. That he was able to hit them, you know, so they successfully kind of went back and forth.
So everyone used to. I'm going to ask you, Americans, you Yanks. So Carrot Top. Did Carrot Top just was a continuation of Gallagher, or was he just all prop?
I mean, Carrot
Top. Maybe we have to do him next.
Yeah, he was. I don't know about that. I don't know if I can do two of these in a row. I didn't know that Gallagher even used props. You know, of course, Carrot Top's known as like the prop comic. But when Gallagher was doing it, I was thinking, oh, what's he doing? Like Carrot Top stuff. But yeah, I guess so. Like Carrot Top was after Gallagher. So.
Yeah. Gallagher begat Carrot Top as Esau begat Saul and all the shit in the Bible. Yeah.
So Carrot Top said, well, if I take out the tap dancing woman and just keep the good stuff.
Yeah. Although I don't think he got rights to any of his sledging of fruit. There was a couple. There's no point in trying to, you know, talk about his jokes, really, I guess, but or his props for that matter. But he did take a shot at the Jews. Did you catch that one?
Yeah.
Jews in condos.
Yeah.
I mean,
all the Jews will move in.
When in Texas.
Yeah. So that made me think of, like, what is Gallagher, right? Gallagher's an Irish name in my experience. In the study of his wiki, did you figure out his real name? Is it like that, Jerry Gallagher?
It's Leo Gallagher.
That sounds right.
Leo something Gallagher.
Leo Gallagher. And was he able to continue this act past 1980? This was 84, but
yeah, he was going all the way. I think
in the 2000s,
right up until death, I think.
Really, I never hear about him coming around.
I thought I heard something about him coming out with some weird right wing ideas at some point.
Well, these ideas, and so yeah. I think
I'm going through them more. You know, man with head up ass. That was a bizarre piece. Yeah. Then the Eco River, the poem.
It talks a lot about toxic waste and
women going shopping. Women be shopping.
Going back to the man with the head up his ass. So he says, "I'm going to bring out a sound guy," and then a guy in a costume of a man with his head up his ass comes out. What, does he have a problem with the tech people at his shows?
No, that was just a convenient thing, I think, because it happens in the blink of an eye, but he talks about how man evolves to have his head up his ass. You might not have even spotted it because I had to piece it together. That. Yeah, just before he brings man with head up ass out, he does this spiel where he talks about and the man ended up with his head up his own ass. And then he brings...
So it has nothing to do with the fact that it's a sound guy.
No, that was just a...
He was talking about evolution right? Like, yeah. And that's when he brought out those animals. Like, it's going to, you know, a butterfly is going to evolve into this, into trash and shit. And then man is going to... But I think it was in response to the way we treat the environment. And that river bit where which was kind of actually pretty cool. He had that sheet on. And then what do you think they did? It was just a
I thought that was a green
projector?
Well, I think that was just a green screen for the video, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Fuck, no.
I don't think the audience would have seen that.
Right, that's what I was wondering too. Like, did they have that on a screen, like off to the side that they could see? Because the audience was reacting to it, but he was holding up a dark blue sheet, because they showed it at the end, like they turned the whatever.
I thought that was like a projector screen.
No, it's like a blue or like a green screen sort of thing. And he was wearing it as like a cape and holding it out, you know. Yeah. But how did the audience know what to react to?
Yeah, because I don't think they could have seen that. Not
unless they were playing
time.
It, you know, like on like monitors, you know, that we can't see.
Well, I think they were just reacting to the poem, which was bizarre.
About the river?
Yeah.
How confusing do you think it was to be sitting there?
Not to them. They were just eating it up. Woo! And like loving everything. Everything.
Yeah.
You could do no wrong.
Huh.
How about the blimp at the end? What the fuck is that? What? And the
singing
over the rainbow? Like, what was the rainbow? Just because it was on his head? Like, what does that have to do with anything?
I had left the room and came back in, and that was happening. And at that point, it was like, what is going on?
Yeah, it was weird. He pulls a rainbow out of his hat and then just starts singing over the rainbow. And then cuts to a film of him on a giant... Well, they had the model of him on a bicycle floating around the auditorium.
And so I thought he was actually on that. Like I said, I left the room, came back in. I was like, is he on a blimp now?
No, he didn't.
He wasn't. No, it was just obviously.
They had a model blimp for actually in the theater. You know how they drop T-shirts of the Blackhawks game like that. But then they cut... I assume you watched the credits. Is him on
that
an
he
actual,
was on a
But
was he in the air on a? No.
He was in the air, and he was at like some sort of airfield sort of thing. You could see like airplanes in the background. They must have had
it. Was an actual blimp?
I think he was on an actual blimp, actually pedaling around with his rainbow hat on. I've never seen anything like.
I've never seen anything like this. Yeah.
I think it's a self-produced video. I can't see a TV. because it you know how on the ident it's you know whatever productions, and that instantly tipped me off that it was going to be bad because it's a self-produced video. I mean, no TV company could have aired that.
Yeah, but
surely.
I saw him as a kid, and I hated him as a kid, right? Yeah. And I don't know. All I knew of him was the smashing shit. But we saw him on TV. He was on TV as a kid here in 1984. I was glued to the TV. I don't know if I saw this particular.
Was he after Stephen Wright, but before the unknown comic?
Yeah. Well, we should do the unknown comic. That's a good one. But never, I don't remember sitting through the rest of this dreck, you know? I mean, it's as bad as anything I've ever seen in my life.
It certainly is an amazing thing. One of the things, and I can say this as a slaphead all my life.
What's that mean?
Slaphead just means you're balding. You're bald. Oh. I'm a slaphead. I was born a slaphead. I never got a full head of hair. Always been one. So I'm allowed...
So you haven't
this.
Lost any hair. You're born balding.
Yeah, I just never had
balding.
A full head. Yeah, I never had a full head. A Benjamin Button I am. But anyway.
Slaphead.
Gallagher's hair just annoys me with the whole like bold on top so long at the back. Oh, boy.
It's so hard to look at. Like his whole face. His skin actually looks really good, I thought. I made note of that. Like he's got nice skin.
Good tash.
But those beady eyes and that mustache and that long hair.
with the slap head in the
middle.
With
the slap head and the trousers and the tight shirt. It's all bad.
A mime gone
certainly
wrong.
Certainly a look.
Okay, well, let's talk about what he is known for, and that's the smashing of the things.
Yeah.
Can you think of all the things that he smashed? Now, surprisingly, I didn't remember. I thought it was only watermelons, right? But you only see one watermelon get smashed at the very end.
The big finale.
For the big finale. And did you notice that it was a dud? Like he smashed it and it like just went 2 feet in front of it.
Like
it didn't blast
it.
The stage. You didn't get any.
Maybe that's why he branched
shrapnel
out.
From that one.
Yeah.
Maybe it was like one of those, you know, you get a watermelon that's not it's not ripe or it's like
overly ripe.
It's overly ripe. Yeah, yeah. And maybe it was one of those just
mush disintegrator. Yeah.
But I was surprised one that he could handle that sledgehammer as weak as he looks. Right, he's the weakest looking guy I've ever seen in my life. And two, I was surprised at the range of the splatter.
Yeah, how far things went. What do you think the car battery is made out of?
I don't know, but did he blast car battery juice on people? That can't be,
no.
Right?
God knows what fake thing that was. Maybe just a box filled with water and
lemon
jelly
juice.
Or something.
Yeah, because you couldn't smash a car battery
I'm amazed you could get permission from any theater to say, you know what, I'm just going to spray water over it. Because that time he sprays the sprinkler joke, right? You didn't check the sprinkler and then just... It wasn't just him with a little water pistol. It was... full on, right?
Yeah. And so you got to imagine the fan of Gallagher, and I can't get inside the head of someone who likes Gallagher, but all these people come to the show and it must be like they must have had to sleep on the sidewalk overnight to get because this is back before the internet, to get the tickets to the front row of Gallagher. And that must have been like the biggest thing, like we got front row to Gallagher or even third row for Gallagher. You're gonna get blasted, right? And that was the whole draw. And so I think these people put up with all this dreck that he's... It's really like environmental, like browbeating and how the world is going to shit act just so they can get splattered on by a fucking watermelon. I mean, it's inane that this people would enjoy this.
It is amazing. I remember a big applause break was he's like, why do they put candy by the register? The kids are going to ask for it. It's like,
that's
everyone knows they do it.
That's why they do it. That's
but
the
listen,
whole
in
reason.
1984, I think this was new, right? Like, it's not as commonplace as it is now. Like, they just figured out to put the candy there, right? That was a big deal at the time.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was very dated, I guess, this act. How about his Social Security Act? That was very apropos, or for these times, and that was the one thing like he called called it So.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty good. I can see that being a headline in the Sun Times.
Kind of left wing.
It's very left wing. You said right wing.
There were right wing tinges in stuff.
He was playing to his audience, maybe.
Maybe, yeah. You know, I mean, a gun, or the whole gun bit, and da da da. And then he would suddenly swing left wing. And I'm like,
he seemed very lefty to me, but yeah. He did talk about Texas seceding from the Union.
They got a huge cheer.
Yeah, so they could invade Cuba.
They could attack Cuba.
Yeah, so that's like, right wing, isn't it?
This is right in the middle of the Cold War.
Yeah.
This is before the fucking wall came down. Right?
There's nothing really to say about this.
No, there's more. There's more.
To have an entire just message about environmentalism and then to end it with a display of food waste, you know, in the way
that
he does.
And then he smashes up a newspaper vending box.
Right. Yeah, that's the other thing.
And it didn't really do any damage.
And like, everybody cheered when he got the paper. I was like, what do you mean? The paper that you got to pay for those.
Was that an attack on the media?
That's what I was trying to figure out. Is this against the newspaper or the fact that you have to pay for the paper in the box? You don't have to buy a paper.
Because I was trying to see on the box, is it like a leftist?
Same thing.
Newspaper,
I was trying to read.
Like,
I don't think that was the point. I think he was just like, is it annoying that you have to put quarters in this thing to get a paper?
No.
Maybe
he just said to the stagehands, I need some more shit to smash
whatever's out front.
Yeah, and then he was just like, let's drag this newspaper.
They couldn't get the mailbox off the sidewalk. So
yeah.
Yeah. And then, I mean, it's, and then he talks, well, I got to go be with my kids now. You know, I've got a young kid. And they're like, oh, there, Amy, there you are up there. And they show like the dangling legs at the top of the rafters. And then they show the stack of chairs that, it's like, why would you put all that effort into building that and doing that for that fucking joke? That doesn't even make sense.
No.
Right.
At one point, what I want you to take away from this tonight
is to
just ask why. And I'm thinking the entire fucking audience has been thinking why? That.
But they're not.
We've all been thinking that for an hour, Gallagher.
Yeah, it was like being on drugs watching this thing, right? Like none of it made any sense. Yeah, when he says just ask why, like he's this change agent that wants you to really think about why things are done, like challenge social constructions. And this is his... This is his big insight. You want to put sour cream on your French fries and ketchup on your baked potato? Go ahead. Woo! 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 It was like a standing ovation. Like,
we finally have permission.
Do it your way. Yeah. You want to put, like, what?
Yeah.
And that was kind of it.
He's a laid-back bro.
We should have waited for Crocious to be in town for your
May 28th.
You're doing a big tour, right?
I gotta talk to you about that booking.
Is it a whole Midwest tour?
It's a tour of the Midwest, but this is a special event, an evening with Adam Crocious. Reintroducing Khalil.
What was the one that you always used to go to? He used to do an impression of Matt Andrews, and
he's been doing it this week on the
Infinite Wisdom and Penguins.
This weekend I'll be at Penguins in Cedar Rapids.
That's the one.
Bert Haas and his Infinite Wisdom didn't see me as bookable.
He's not still doing the exact same line.
Matt Andrews is dead.
I know. Oh. Matt Andrews has been in the ground
rest
15
in peace.
Years.
He was born with his intestines on the outside of his body. He's actually a miracle of science and medicine, whatever.
We should do a Matt Andrews. He used to tell me some of the stories of shit him and his brother did downstate.
Yeah, they're downstate
insanity.
Illinois boys.
Insanity.
Right? Yeah, he was a troubled individual. Spent a lot of nights in the back of the monkey bar with him and Lurie. Holy shit.
Oh, my God. I think his brother went downriver for phoning in a bomb scare.
Yeah, I do remember him talking about his brother in prison quite a bit. It's part of his act. His brother was really bad.
Yeah. Holy shit. Like, what's going on in downstate Illinois? Kids being born with their stomachs on the outside, and then they're just running wild.
Yeah, do you ever see The Scar? Do you ever show you?
Oh, yeah. Occasionally.
Looks like a David Cronenberg.
Yeah.
Body horror movie.
I always told him he should do a bit about Total Recall.
With the three tits?
Yeah. Quato. I used to be, do you remember?
Yeah, Quato. Yeah, it's an alien living in his back or his belly, right? Yeah, he should have done a whole act on that. Well, whatever he was doing, they loved it up in Cedar Rapids at Penguins this weekend. Yeah, Crocious did that. I'll show you this week. He quoted Andrews in Penguins at Cedar Rapids. Yeah, so May 29th, an evening with Adam Crocious and reintroducing Khalil will be his opener. Some double billing there at the Lincoln Lodge if I can get it booked. If I can get the space. I got to talk to Borky, though.
Better be better than Gallagher.
Oh, I know it'll be better than Gallagher. Well, two things went through my mind while watching this program. One is every special of Gallagher's, just like this, you know you're going to get the smashing. But is his act always this way? Or did he have some kind of psychotic break or something?
No. I need to go to Wikipedia because there's a good quote from him. He basically complained, like most old acts, they won't put me on TV anymore. And then in his quote, he says that they gave him like 11 specials and he basically invented the genre
of the comedy special.
Of the comedy special.
He may have. Right?
Which is interesting. Blah, blah, blah. For more than 30 years, he played between 100 and 200 shows a year.
Fuck.
Legacy. There's it. Comedy Central rated him the 100th best stand-up comedian of all time, which is kind of an insult because that means you're the bottom of the 100 list, right?
But you're on the list.
And he said, I looked at other people and I was trying to find anyone I ever heard of. That sounds like an old comedian. How could I be? I made 13 one-hour shows for Showtime.
Oh, he was a Showtime. He was in Showtime.
Which are all available on videotape. I invented the one-man show on cable.
I wouldn't argue with it.
I don't know. I wasn't here. So, yeah.
Wouldn't argue with it. So I thought that, does he do the same? Is this the same act every time? Probably so. I don't know about that weird environmental shit. But the other thing I thought of while watching him was... how badly he would get raped in prison. I don't know why I kept thinking about that. Because he's so thin and effeminate, right? Like, if he were to be in prison, they would have a fucking time with him. Wouldn't they?
I guess, but why would he go to... You can't send someone to prison.
I know, my kid is watching the show Prison Break, and it's always on in the house. And there's a lot of allusions to the raping going on there.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't help but think about him being in prison.
So that's how you view... you can mean
how
rape
badly
they
would
they?
Be. They'd all be raped.
How would Adam Sandler do?
Better than Gallagher.
Oh, okay.
I'd say. But he'd also be raped. You might be all right. You're kind of burly. Yeah. You would be turned out quick. But you're crafty. You'd figure out a way to keep yourself from being raped by like. Fixing things for guys, okay. Fixing their bunks or making shivs for them or something.
I think if I ever went to prison, I'd be in with the governor real quick. I'd be
the governor?
A little bit like Andy Dufresne.
I mean, you'd be with a warden.
The governor would realize, oh, this is a guy.
Yeah,
that
you'd be in.
I'd be Andy Dufresne, and then there I would gain protection that way.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I meant by that. Yeah. Savvy that way. I would be raped unceremoniously on the day one. They'd be taking turns.
You'd be the guy, that's kind of black, actually. They remember when Andy Dufresne goes into prison and the one guy just kills himself within a week? He's just getting
Brooks
battered.
Hadlin, yeah, because he's institutionalized. He can't
no,
live on the outside.
No, I'm talking about when they go in, he goes in with two other guys.
Oh.
And they sort of run the gamut of and the other prisoner like wolf whistling, hey, I'm going to... And there's this sort of tubby lad who's with Andy Dufresne.
Would he hang himself or something?
Yeah, they make his life a hell, and within a week, he's like dead ski. that Dufresne like guts it out.
Yeah, I would like the routine and everything. And the, you know, I like the camaraderie of, you know, being in prison, but I don't think I.
You know, it's a really good special that we're reviewing when it ends with discussion about rape and suicide. That's
yeah, yeah.
So, how do you rate this special? Very special.
No, what are we doing now? We're doing
unspecial. Isn't that special?
Unspecial.
I'd say intriguing.
It was certainly intriguing. Interesting. I mean, you're looking at it, kind of like the Larry the Cable Guy. Remember we did that one?
I liked Larry.
And it's like, well, I mean, all these people showed up for it. And, I mean, he did it. You know,
yeah.
He did what he went to do.
He did.
But this isn't even subjective bombing. This is who...
Oh, he didn't bomb.
Who would... This isn't even subjective, like, oh, well, like, I understand the jokes, I don't like them. This is a... I don't understand what the hell went on for this hour.
I don't. Yeah, I don't either. But I did also think there was... In some of my acts, I was maybe trying to do some Gallagher-type stuff, where one time I was throwing deli meats out at the crowd.
How have we spent the most time on any special with the thing that we all agree was the
talking
actual
worst? Talking
about prison.
Wait, we're already over time?
We're at 40.
Yeah, we're at 40, and like most of them come in around 33, because I'm editing them now.
Yeah, well, I'd like to keep going. But
all right, we keep going if you want.
We can't end it now, not on this.
Yeah.
But the idea of throwing stuff out at the crowd, like Gallagher does, right? Is anyone else doing that
right now or back then?
I don't think
where you're getting splattered, or there's got to be something.
I mean, like things like Blue Man Group do it. Not a comedian, though.
Yeah.
There are.
Does Blue Man Group even splatter the audience though?
They used to, yeah.
Oh.
They used to give the front six rows because they did the water drums and all that.
Yeah. But you know what it is like, though? Have you ever seen a movie in 4D? 4D movies?
No.
Have you not heard of this?
It's
like a Gallagher movie.
It's the old... Do you remember Kentucky Fried Movie and they do feel around?
No.
Sketch.
I know the movie, but yeah.
They do the feel around sketch. So like when they go like, is that your perfume? And the guy sprays a little perfume near him.
Yes, yes.
And all
it's
that.
Like that.
Yeah.
You get a mist of water. It shakes your chair.
And like the movie Matinee. Do you remember that?
John Goodman, Matinee.
Very good movie.
Yeah, I don't remember it.
Well, basically he invents like a... In the 60s, they used to invent CinemaScope and this and Smell-O-Vision and all this. And it's the story is that he invents this, like, totally immersive cinema experience.
I don't remember.
Like, at one point, the guy dressed as the monster runs out of into the theater.
Yeah,
and they
okay.
All, yeah, all
trying to stoop up the matinee.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, can you hear me chewing ice?
Yeah.
You hear that?
No.
Not at all.
Yeah. What are you talking about?
Does it come through in your headphones? Last thing I just want to share with you. I've changed my life. Either you guys snore? I know you must. You look like you could fucking saw logs.
I've never really been a snorer.
No?
No.
So you're able to sleep with your mouth closed?
Yep.
How about you? I imagine your mouth's completely agape like this.
It might be. You'd have to ask my missus.
Well, if she doesn't tell you you snore, you would have heard about it.
Yeah. No, I don't think I do.
You got separate bedrooms?
No.
You and the missus?
I mean, I would hear about snoring, obviously. Mm. Anyway.
Well, I've cured my snoring.
Oh, congratulations.
It's been a battle with my wife for 20 years. She's always waking me up in the night, pushing me in the back to roll over to stop because if I'm on my back, I really saw logs. And I've cured it.
What'd you do?
It's not a CPAP mask.
So you sew tennis balls onto the back of your pajamas, and then you don't lie on your back.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
You gotta get a patent on that. Pajamas with tennis balls in the back. What the fuck is... No, it's as simple as this. It's a special tape that you put over your mouth, and it keeps your mouth shut.
I've seen this, yeah.
And it works like a bastard. It works. And I had a great night's sleep because you're snoring, you're getting terrible sleep. My wife's not waking me up. She's sleeping well.
when you choke on your own vomit, like Jimmy
you
Hendrix.
Might, you might, yeah, if that happens.
It's kind of
yeah.
dangerous.
It's like having a ball gag in your mouth. Yeah. So to celebrate where I'm going home right now with the Cubs rain delay, and I'm going to plow my wife.
All right.
Then you're going to sleep without snoring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have a nap right. without snoring. All right. Next week, we'll be reviewing Carrot Top.
No, we are
chairman
not.
Of the board.
I tried to watch that movie once. I think I got 20 minutes in. We are
no,
not
no good.
Doing that.
All right. Who's it going to be, Chris?
I'll text you by Tuesday.
All right. We'll leave everybody. We'll leave it as a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
For our loyal listeners. Who are they going to review next week? We've got to know.
Oh, I got some feedback from someone who actually listens to this shite.
Yeah.
And he said you should put in a recommendation before every show. We recommend you watch this.
And it's not necessarily the show we're reviewing. It's just a recommendation.
No, you should watch the show we're about to review because it will be enhanced by doing it.
Oh, like for the next show?
No, no, no.
If they're listening to the show, how can they watch it? Just stop listening?
Just hit pause, yeah.
And go watch it? Yeah. Oh.
I guess, yeah, like there's this podcast that I like called The Rewatchables. And they
yeah,
they,
someone's telling me about
you
this.
Like the, oh, you've heard it. Okay. They always start with like, hey, well, I guess they used to. They used to say like, if you haven't seen the movie, go watch that first before listening to this.
Yeah.
And that's what that's what you got to do. Now I'll just watch it like an old movie and then I'll just see if they've reviewed it. And normally they have.
And then you'll listen to their review.
And then I'll listen to them talk about it.
Because you like. So people actually like this. They want to hear people talk about this shit. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I imagine it's probably way better if you've seen the special. Otherwise, you'd just be listening to a few people talk about something you've never seen.
We're on to something here. We've drilled into something special going on.
Well,
very,
I put
very
studio.
Special.
I put some text in the episode description to say, you know, watch it. But I mean, you should know that anyway. The name of the special's there. But, you know, I even thought about putting hot links to, you know, if it's on YouTube or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, so maybe it's a little too late. But listeners, pause the show now and go out and rent a VCR and try to find a copy of Gallagher Over Your Head. Why do you think it's called Over Your Head?
It's a play on words for the... For a joke being over your head, of course, but then he does the whole blimp thing.
Yeah,
you know, or maybe people are in
head.
Over their head when it comes to ecological, to water.
Yeah, over my head.
Purity.
All right.
We did both. We all agreed. It's a not special.
I think we agreed in the first minute of this podcast.
No, I think it needs to be watched, not enjoyed, but it needs to be watched.
It needs to be observed.
Yeah, or absorbed, whatever. It needs to be watched.
All right.
You need to have that point of reference in your life. Everybody does. All Gallagher. Right. Good night, everybody.